with you and to pray with you. This is a great day. I love this service as we celebrate our families, as we hear their cries and just encourage them to be the parents that they want to be, and then to encourage all of us to be the church that we want to be. There's a lot of different ministries that churches are called to, a lot of different things that we could do. We can't do everything, but I would imagine that most churches would put children as a priority. We want to teach them. We want to lead them. We want to help our families. We want to help our parents. And so the Park Avenue Church of Christ is devoted to that we want to play a critical role, a vital role, a necessary role in leading these kids to know who Jesus is. Because we love children and we want them to know the Lord. We love our children and we love the children that are here. Jesus loved children. We're all familiar with the story in Matthew chapter 19. Children just were attracted to Jesus. And there was this one point in Jesus' ministry where parents were bringing their children to Jesus, and the apostles had the audacity to think that Jesus didn't want to have anything to do with the children. And so the apostles rebuked these children. Get away, Jesus, hold on. Let the little children come unto me. I mean, these are the people that I love. And Jesus teaches us that we need to have care and concern for children. So we're so blessed, aren't we? We're so blessed to have these kids in our congregation, so blessed to have these families. And if you've been around a while like I have, what a blessing it is to see these kids just grow up. I mean, you see them on these services here. And through the years, you see them in cradle roll, then you see them in Bible class and Flight 56. They get involved in the youth group. You get to see some of them baptized. You see them at Senior Sundays as we send them off into adulthood, whatever that means, college, work, military. And it's just a joy. It's just a joy. It's been a joy of my ministry here to see so many of these kids grow up and then embrace faith in the Lord and to know I was a part of that. It's a little bit maybe, but I was a part of that. That we were all a part of that. That we played a role in these children growing up in the Lord. So God help us as we help these children. I feel a little bit like John did in 3 John chapter 4. The Apostle John, he wrote this really short letter. But in the 4th verse, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the faith. So he writes this letter to Christians, and he says, man, I'm just overwhelmed with joy to hear these stories come back to me about how you guys have embraced faith. And he's not talking about his biological or adopted children. He's talking about those people that he has played a role in helping them know who Jesus Christ is. So all of us have that great joy. And we share the joys of watching them grow up. You know, several years ago, we had this service. We used to call it Celebration of New Life. We had this service 1 week. It was in the spring. And then just a few weeks later, we had our Senior Sunday, where we honor our high school seniors and give them a Bible. And I remember someone who was presiding over that ceremony said, it seems like, as he was introducing these seniors, it seems like it was just yesterday that we were welcoming these children into the church. How time flies, how time gets away from us. Man, it just flies by, doesn't it? Today is a day to recommit ourselves to all of our children. And even though we specified these families, it's a call to me, it's a call to all of us who are parents, is to recommit ourselves. Let's be faithful parents. Let's put that as a priority in our lives. If you're a mom or you're a dad, commit yourself to being that godly influence in their life. We know it's not easy. Those of us who have done it or are still doing it, it never ends, right? It never ends. Those of us who are a little bit further down the path, we know it's not easy. We can become easily distracted. We need some insight. We need encouragement. We need some understanding. We need some wisdom. We need wisdom, don't we, as fathers and mothers. So this week, I read through the book of Proverbs. I love the book of Proverbs. And as I read through it, it was my intent to find some pearls of wisdom to dole out to all of us who are parents and to us as a church as we participate in assisting these kids raise these children in the Lord. So I thought I'd find 4 or 5 verses, you know, I was highlighting, and you can copy and pasting. I had like 5 pages of Proverbs. It was amazing. Read the book of Proverbs. If you're a parent, if you're a Christian, if you want to live a godly life, if you want to be able to see the world from God's perspective and have wisdom in dealing with all of the decisions that we have to make, read the book of Proverbs. Make it your friend. But I would have preached a sermon that was hours long if I looked at all of those passages. It talks about teaching our kids to be humble. It teaches us against pride. It teaches a lot about anger, that we need to avoid anger in our homes and in our children. It talks about the importance of words, how words can heal and how words can really bring damage to people's lives. It talks about hard work, teaching our kids to work hard. It talks about temperance, not getting addicted to certain substances. It talks about temptation. So like I said, I had about 100 verses. So I didn't want to preach a sermon on 100 verses. You can thank me later. So I pulled out a few nuggets of wisdom from Proverbs to share with all of us today in relationship to what we're doing. Asking these parents and all of us as parents to commit ourselves to raising our kids in the Lord, and then as a church, how we can participate in this. All right, so here's a few things. Number one, what children need from the Proverbs. Children need wise adults in their lives. Children need wise, godly adults in their lives. Let's admit it, we're all kids once, weren't we? We weren't real smart. We needed guidance. If it was left only up to us, we would have made so many poor decisions. And even with the guidance of parents, didn't we make some poor decisions? We need to recognize as parents that we have more wisdom than our kids. We need to recognize as adults who have walked down this path, we have more wisdom, and our kids need that wisdom. You know your kids are not going to agree with that. They think that they're wiser than you are. But don't forget, they need your wisdom. They need your discipline. Here's some Proverbs, Proverbs 1:4. All right, this is an introduction to the Proverbs. This is why the book is being written, for giving prudence for those who are simple. And that's our kids, our young ones. I mean, we can't expect them to know how to handle all the situations in life. We can't expect them to make all the good decisions. They are simple. They need guidance. They need our wisdom. They need discretion. And we are there as parents to impart that wisdom. And again, they may look at you funny, they may ignore you, but don't let their discouragement keep you from giving them that wisdom. Proverbs 1:8-9, listen, my son, to your father's instruction. In fact, a lot of the Proverbs are written as if a father is talking to his child, talking to his son or his daughter, saying, hey, you need to listen to me. You know, you need to hear this wisdom. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Now, I don't know how you can put that in modern English, maybe not those words. But our kids need to know that we have this wisdom and we need to share it with them. Proverbs 19:18. Discipline your children, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to their death. All right? Discipline them. And discipline it's not just physical discipline. It's training them. It's teaching them. It's guiding them. Proverbs 29:17. I should have looked up. I usually do this. I should have looked up how many times the word discipline occurs in the book of Proverbs. I would bet a bunch. Discipline your children, and they will give you peace. They will bring you the delights you desire. Proverbs 30:17. Lay this on them. The eye that mocks a father, that scorns an aged mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures. Yeah, a little bit of fear can go a long way sometimes. I mean, so that word picture, I mean, people, children need that guidance. If they don't, they're just gonna go into this disaster. Again, they will think that they are wiser. They will shrug off your pearls of wisdom. I know they do that for me. Maybe not for you. I'd assume they do that for you as well. They'll scoff at your instruction. But remember, parents, we're in charge. Right? We're in charge. We can't let them do everything that they want. They need discipline. They need our wisdom. As I say that, it's really important for us to make sure that our wisdom is from the Lord. All right. So parents, we need to be informed. We need to be in the Word. We need to have the mind of Christ as well, so that our wisdom that we give is wisdom not just of our own imagination, but is of God. They need to know that real wisdom comes from godly parents, from godly adults within their church, from their youth leaders, from their Bible school teachers. Kids need to recognize that real wisdom is not found on social media. It's not found on YouTube. There may be an accidental pearl of wisdom coming from social media, but that's not the source. It's people like us, people who are pursuing a relationship with God, and they need to know that the Word of God, that is where that wisdom is going to come from. That is the source of wisdom. That's where they need to seek wisdom, not just from trends, not just from opinions, not just what is convenient or easy. So in Proverbs, it really lays into the fact that this is where wisdom comes from. It comes from God. We need to tell our kids this is what God. God is the embodiment of all wisdom and the embodiment of all love. And whenever He speaks, it's always for our own good. We need to drill that into our kids' mind that they have this picture of God, that God is directing them in a wise and a loving way. Here are some Proverbs. Let's read them fast. Proverbs 4:7. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, though it costs you all you have. Get understanding. Proverbs 8. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. If we could just teach our kids that wisdom from the Lord, this is going to serve you so much better than anything else in the world. Not to disparage all the other pursuits that our kids pursue. Wisdom of God, that is going to serve them above everything else. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I just want to say a few things. I don't know what the future holds. I'm not a prophet, but we have this artificial intelligence that is becoming more and more rampant in our world today. I don't know what it's going to be. I just hear a lot of people, podcasters, theologians, talking about the impact of artificial intelligence in our world. But it is going to be more and more difficult for our kids to be able to know what is real and what is not real, what has been produced, what is computer generated. And so we need to teach our kids, and we need to seek wisdom and not just believe everything that they say. Every generation has different dangers, right? This may be the biggest danger for our next generation, this artificial intelligence. We need to seek godly wisdom, godly intelligence. All right. Children need a godly home. They need a godly home. They need a godly church. Proverbs 24. By wisdom, a house is built. So parents, church, let's seek to be wise people. Through understanding, it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. And I think Paul David Tripp spoke of this. I mean, we want to provide for our family, right? And we should. That's a godly thing to do. But better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver and gold. So I asked speaking of social media, there are some good things on social media, and one of them is the Facebook page, the church Facebook page, so I hope you follow that. But I did, on the For Texoma Facebook page, I just put out this request, this question. I said, hey, Park Avenue family, Sunday is Parent Church Commitment Sunday. What advice would you give to new parents committing to raise their children in the Lord? Leave your advice in the comments. Thanks, Todd. So I just got a few responses. Let me share those with you. One comment was this. Our job as parents is to raise godly children. It takes a village. We need to be bold about encouraging families to be present at worship. It is hard. Children are loud. That makes us a vibrant, growing church when we have children being children. Attendance has to be a priority from the very beginning. And let me amen that. I know we want our kids to behave, and we want to learn how to be respectful in worship service. But if we ever, ever make you feel bad or guilty that your child bursts out in their amens, then that's not our intention. Not our intention. We love to hear the sound of our children. Another comment was this. to realize from the very beginning that the most important role in your job as a parent is to help develop a relationship between your child and God. The foundation you lay now will give them the tools to maneuver through so much in this world. Pray for them. Let them see you pray. Teach them to pray. Bring them to church. It's okay if they make noise in the pew. That's music to God's ears. And then another comment was this. Park Avenue is the best place to raise children up to know the Lord. It truly takes a village to raise a child, and our church gives so much support. It's also so important to pray for your children in every stage of life and to openly talk and have conversations with your children about God and His love for us so that one day they can confidently go out into the world with full armor. Our kids, they need a Christian home. They need a godly home. They need a godly church. We need to remind them, and some things that come out of these comments, that you know these things, right? But this is a reminder. Christianity is not just a church thing. We need to bring it home. It needs to permeate everything that we do. Make your house a house of the Lord. Pray with your kids. Read the Bible to your kids. Engage in spiritual conversations. This is your mission field. Make church a priority. Model in your marriage and your relationships love, forgiveness. And as a church as well, model love, forgiveness, mercy, and grace. Husbands and wives, speak to one another with honor. Be a good husband and a wife. Love them and be a model to them. And then another point that comes out of these comments is that it does take a village. It takes all of us. And so as a church, we need to welcome our kids. Hey, say things. Glad that you're here. Interact with them. I can remember growing up, many adults in the little church that I grew up in, they knew me and they were a great influence in my life. Hey, Todd, how's school going? How's sports going? They'd ask me about my life. They were concerned about me. They knew my name. You know, one of the best things that I've done in regards to connecting with our children is helping Rachel to teach a class on Wednesday nights. It was the first through third grade class, and it was hard. It was very hard. It was difficult. We had to get on the floor sometimes and get up off the floor, which was harder than getting down on the floor. But, you know, I got to know some of those kids. I got to know them. And it's a joy. This was a few years ago, so now some of them are getting baptized, and I'm taking some credit for it. You know, I'm taking some credit in a good and a positive way to know that God, not me, but God used me, and I celebrate with these kids as they grow in their relationship with the Lord, and it's a blessing. I did that on a couple of occasions, and I probably need to do that again. Don't tell Rachel, Basil. Don't tell Rachel I said that. But you can do that too, and that's a great way. And I appreciate so much. I'm back in this parent of a youth again here, and I appreciate so much all of you who participate in the youth group, who teach Bible classes, and even as my kids, as they grow, when they come back, for you to hug them, and when my kids put a comment on or a post on Facebook, whatever, and you comment, and it just means so much to me to know that this church family, you've been such a blessing to my kids, and you continue to be such a blessing to my kids. But it means so much to the parents as well for you to know their kids' names, and so you can do that. You'll be blessed. You'll be tired, but you'll be blessed. And in doing so, you communicate to our kids that we are a church that really cares about them spiritually. Also in these comments, church attendance comes up. I mean, having our kids in church, it is so very, very important. And as we know, the world is creeping in on our Sundays. And one of the culprits is sports. And you know how much I love sports. You know how much I love sports. But in some ways, it's moving church to a secondary activity for Sunday. And when we make church a secondary activity, it is sending a message to our kids, and it's setting a precedence. Even when I was a child, we had this. I played youth football, and in one league I played in, we played on Sundays. And from my experience, my mom, on Saturdays, this was before the days of GPS We had those things called maps that we would get out, but we would find out the field that we were playing in on Saturday. One of our activities, if it was an away game, we would go on Saturdays and find that field so that we would know where we were going, so I wouldn't have to fret, Mom, you're making a wrong turn. Mom, you don't know where you're going. And just so that we had that assurance, we'd know how much time it took us to get there. Usually we'd stop for an ice cream on the way back, which was good. But then Sunday after church, I mean, sometimes I'd get dressed in the car, maybe have my football pads on underneath my clothes, but then rush off. And I always got there in time. I never missed a game. Although my team may have wished I missed a game or two, I never missed a game. I was always there. Maybe missed some of the pregame activities, but my coach understood. I know it may be a different day, but I was, if I was ridiculed, I don't know. I was never ridiculed. It always seems like people respected that. They really did. They respected that. And I think you'll find the same thing now. But we need to teach kids what is most important. So, and as I say that, we need to approach this with the right perspective. Church attendance. Never make church attendance a legalistic matter like, oh, God's going to hate us if we miss church, you know? Hope you don't die this week, or you know what's going to happen if we don't make it to church. Let's not make it a legalistic thing. Always frame it, church attendance, always frame it in this, hey, we need this time. We need this time. We need this praise time. We need this time to remember what Christ has done for us. We need time in the Word. And express to your kids, you know, I just love that time. It's so important for me as a Christian. My week just isn't the same unless I have this time together in church. Worship helps me put everything in the right perspective. Or you could say, you know, just like I love watching you play the sport that you're playing, God loves it when I go to church and I sing songs of praise to Him, and He delights in that, just like I delight in you. So we can turn our kids off of church by being so legalistic. And so legalism is not what it's all about. We're here. I hope you're not here because you're afraid of what'll happen if you're not here. I hope you're not here just to check it off the list. I hope you're here because this means something to you, that it's important in your spiritual development. And so in encouraging church attendance, we need to make sure that we don't lapse into legalism. Now, there may be an opportunity where you can't be here at Park Avenue, but you can be creative. Right? You can listen online. It's not the same. I know it's not the same, but if you're on the road from 10 to 11:30, any part of that time, you can stream it. You know how to do this. You can stream it right over your car radio. So you can listen online. You can find a church that is close to the field. All right? Most of these activities are taking place in more urban areas where there's church. You probably drive by 20 churches on the way to the field. Well, find a church that has a service earlier or later that you can attend. Show up in your uniform. You know, one time Shen had a tennis tournament on a Sunday, and I was wearing shorts. He was wearing his shorts. We went to a church, and man, we were just welcomed. We came in as if we were watching a tennis match. I took the Sunday off to spend with Shen, but we went to a church, and we were just, man, so glad that you're here. And if you go to a church that's not happy that you showed up in your football uniform, then, well, go to another church next time. Find another church. I mean, any church. If kids showed up here, man, we're playing a softball tournament here at THF Park, and we wanted to come to church, man, wouldn't we love on them? Wouldn't we be impressed by parents who did that? Oh, sure, of course we would. So find a church and show up all sweaty. You'll be welcome. Listen to a podcast or a lesson online. I mean, there's so many resources that we can take with us. And if it's absolutely necessary that you are not with a body of Christ, then you know, right now, media, there's all kinds of great, great, great lessons, great, great sermons, great everything for kids of all different ages that you can stream right on your phone. Listen to some praise music on the way down, and you're communicating to your kids, hey, Sunday is special. We need this time in the Lord. Maybe you've seen this slide before. I don't know about the research of this. Do I have this statistic on this next slide? Maybe not. I don't? I don't have that slide. I'm sorry, I missed a slide. It says there's like a 0.00096 probability that your child will be famous. There is a 0.00048 probability that your child will become a professional athlete. But there is a 100% probability that your child will stand before Christ. All right, 100% probability. All right, now again, I love sports. I was going to say I love band. I wasn't band, but I love band people. I love all the creative arts. I love academics. I love all of those things. And you can love those too. But man, if your love for Christ is not higher, then let God call us into that. All right, let's move on. Our children need godly friends. Our children need godly friends. Proverbs 12:26. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. And as parents, we have some influence into who our kids are going to hang out with. Not total influence, especially as they get older, but we do have some influence. Exert that influence. Proverbs 22. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. Proverbs 13:20. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harms. Now, there is a little monkey wrench in here. Maybe our kid wants to be a positive influence on someone who is going through some really rough times, who has a very difficult, hard background, who may not be exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, and they communicate to you, hey, I really think I can influence that child. It takes wisdom as a parent. How much do we allow that or encourage that? In any case, we need to make sure that our children have these spiritual relationships in their lives. Another one of those comments from my Facebook post. Use every opportunity to show acts of kindness and tell the kids that that is what Jesus wants us to do and point out things that would make Jesus very sad. Read the Bible with them, pray with them, and then the last comment there was have like-minded friends. Have like-minded friends. And that's one reason to have our kids in church. Hey, we're in this together. You know, parents, aren't we? We're in this together. And what a blessing it is for me as a parent, for you as a parent, to know that there are other parents that are promoting godly wisdom, promoting biblical values in their child's lives. So promote those friendships to be with other believers. And now I know our kids are not perfect. Even in our youth group, our kids are not perfect. We know that all of us as parents know that our kids are not perfect. But let's get them together with kids who are at least being taught the same things in their homes as we are teaching them. A life of discipleship can sound very odd to non-believers. All right? Can sound very odd to people who don't embrace biblical values. But when they know that there are others and other parents pursuing God like their parents, it does make a difference. And so, church, we try to encourage that with our children's ministry and our youth ministry, camps, retreats, classes, activities. And we talk about this in our meetings. We don't do these things just to keep our kids busy. All right? It's not just to keep them busy. We want them to be in a spiritual atmosphere. We want them to develop those spiritual friendships so that they can grow together spiritually. And church, we are blessed with Rachel. We're blessed with Tyler. And your generosity makes that possible so that we can have Rachel and Tyler here devoting themselves to help achieve these spiritual goals that we have for our kids. We talk about missionaries, and I love missionaries, and we emphasize missionaries, and we need to financially support missionaries. But folks, we have two missionaries right here in our midst, in Rachel and Tyler. And so on behalf of them, did I hear a clap? I think you can clap for that. We are so blessed, and that's how this whole church, your financial generosity, just enables us to really focus in on that. And it's not Rachel and Tyler's job. It's not their job all by themselves. But thanks be to God that we have the ability to have them here in leading these ministries. All right, let's sum it up. Children need wise adults. Be those wise adults in their lives. Children need a godly home. Make that a priority. And children need godly friends. It's our hope, it's our prayer that these kids who are just beginning their journeys on this earth, it's our hope and their prayer that they'll stay close to the Lord throughout their whole journey until they're welcomed to their eternal home in heaven, home to their Father. That's the goal for our kids. It's a goal for my kids, my kids. It's a goal for all of our kids here at Park Avenue. One last comment from that Facebook post. God has given us these precious babies while on earth, yet he wants them back one day, and we certainly want them to be with him. Man, it's a long journey, isn't it? It ain't easy. It's hard. It's difficult. It's hard raising kids. Jesus is with you every step of the way. Every step of the way, he's there. In the joys and in the sorrows, he's there. And then at the end, this is our dream, this is our hope, that at the end of our journey and at the end of every child's journey, that they will be welcomed home to their heavenly Father forever. Let's stand together and sing this song that reminds us of the presence of God on all of our journey. Basil.
Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die. Oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away. And precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. Remember when you walk, sometimes we fall. So follow Jesus. Pours the rain. Cry to Jesus. Cry to Jesus. Cry to Jesus. And live. And with your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye. Then go in peace and laugh. And fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, and live. Fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus.
Seated, please.
Well, good morning. It's good to be here, as always. It's been great to focus on our families, focus on our children, our babies, our youth, all the kids in our congregation. The CASA video, of course, was touching, as you mentioned, Basil. So it's been good to be here today. So welcome all of our members and our guests alike. If you're visiting, we consider you our honored guests, and whether you're just passing through or you're looking for a church home, just know that we're glad that you're here, and we would love an opportunity to get to know you. I need to introduce and welcome a couple of new members to Park Avenue. That's Stephen and Lori Robertson. Their names are in the messenger. Are you guys here this morning? What's that? Okay. They're not here today. But Todd just baptized them, as I understand it, last Sunday. So they're not only new members to the Park Avenue Church, but they are new brothers and sisters in Christ. So we're glad they're here. Also, Barbara Wasichek, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Barbara, you back there in the back? Welcome to Park Avenue. And as always, I want to encourage us all to be mindful of those in the messenger who are in need of prayers. We have a lot of people who need prayers, and we believe in the power of prayer, especially when a church body is unified and committing to praying on a daily basis for our membership. I also want to remind you that the elders and the staff will be participating in our annual leadership retreat in just a couple of weeks. That's September 5th through the 7th, and we too covet your prayers as we'll spend most of our time contemplating and praying about the future of Park Avenue. We'll be spending time, just as a reminder, with Barry Stevens from the Seibert Institute to break down the feedback that we received from our focus groups that we did several weeks ago, as well as the surveys that many of you completed. So again, thank you for praying for us and with us as we prepare for the retreat and as we enter the retreat here in a couple of weeks. We have another opportunity to pray as a congregation here today. Basil is going to be leaving tonight for a trip to Brazil over the next 10 days. He's going to be attending a missionary conference for men in Latin American missionary fields. So Basil and 16 other men will be leading the conference for 60 missionary men from 8 different Latin American countries. And the purpose of this conference is to bless these 60 men with a time of renewal and encouragement. So we want to pray over Basil this morning, so I want to invite the elders up, and you guys would just stand down there like we did for our babies. And I'd invite our congregation to stand up as we pray. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. We come to you with open hearts this morning, acknowledging that you are sovereign, Father, sovereign in all things. We're thankful for Basil. We're thankful for his heart for your kingdom, his heart for ministry, his heart for mission work, and we're thankful for Basil's heart and love for people. We ask for a safe journey for Basil to and from Brazil beginning this evening. We ask that you'll be with Basil and the other men who'll be leading this conference. Give them the strength, energy, perseverance, compassion, and the spirit of encouragement as they serve and support those 60 missionaries. Father, I ask that you prepare the hearts of all 60 of those men for their time at the conference in Brazil. Father, may those men be encouraged and inspired to continue spreading the gospel, so that people across the world will come to know you and your plan of salvation through Jesus. May each of those men receive the rest and rejuvenation and a renewed desire to continue their good work for the sake of your kingdom. Father, for the body of Park Avenue this morning, I ask a blessing on us all as we begin a new week. I pray that we are lights in our homes, at work, and at school, in our community. Father, may people clearly see you in each of us. Thank you, Father, for loving us beyond our understanding. Thank you for the blessing of today. I offer this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, church, for your prayers. Let's close with this hymn this morning.
Precious cornerstone, the sure foundation, you are faithful to the end. We are waiting on you, Jesus. We believe your Son of God, sent from heaven, hope and mercy at the cross. You are everything, you're the promise. Jesus, you are all to us. Let the glory of your name be the passion of the church. Let the righteousness of God be a holy flame that burns. Let the saving love of Christ be the measure of our lives. We believe you're all to us. When this passing world is over, we will see